Welcome, everyone, to the Transformation Nurse Academy podcast. This is our weekly episode, Talk with Kevin, where we cover topics for all nursing fields with extra emphasis on emergency and critical nursing. Get ready for candid discussions that explore the vast landscape of nursing and beyond.
Matt Norman here, and I appreciate Matt. Matt's a registered nurse out of New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Florida.
So where did I get New York? Is that from your book?
No, I ain't even been to New York. From?
Man, I must have been high or something, man.
I don't know.
I don't know where I got New York. For some reason, now I'm going to have to go back and read your book again, because for some reason I got New York in my mind. All right, so before we start, just tell everybody about you. Where do you live? How long you been in nursing? What your specialty is?
Well, I'm in Central Florida. I think we mentioned that, just outside Orlando. Been a nurse 24 years. Spent most of that time in the ER, but I've done informatics. I did interventional radiology. I worked for about 3 years in an outpatient oncology center, and I've been an educator for the last 5 years. So cut 3 years in hospital and about 2 years actually at a university. All now right. I'm back in hospital, but then also going to be teaching part-time at a college near the hospital I work at.
So now you're a professor, Norman.
Professor Matt, I prefer. Yeah.
I got you. I like that, though. It's good. I like that, though. So do you like teaching?
I love teaching, dude. So a few years ago, 2019, before COVID, I've been a nurse almost 20 years. And in my area, I couldn't get a hospital to call me back. To transition. And because I didn't have a BSN,
right,
they wouldn't talk to me. Now it's different. Now, as long as you got a license and a pulse, So I told my wife, I guess I need to go back and get my bachelor's. And she said, well, as long as you're going, you may as well get your master's. And that's when I'm like, okay, well, what I want to do with it, and realize I had always been educating, whether it was in the church or in the hospital or anything, and really loved doing that. So I've got a master's and I've got an MSN, a master's of science in nursing with a focus on education.
Yeah, that's nice. Same thing with you. I've spent the last 30 years in the healthcare. I was a combat medic. I didn't have a BSN either, and nobody would look. I always got a job, but nobody really recognized me and stuff. Right. And then as soon as I got my BSN, oh, my God, Kevin, I'm like, I'm the same son of a bitch I was yesterday and shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, makes no sense. Does now that I want to teach in the college, now you got to have a master's. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Right.
So I don't want to go back to school. I'm tired of going to school. So I have a master's in business, but they won't count it.
No, it's gonna be an MSN.
Right. So I'm like, I don't care no more. I give up.
I did my master's in 8 months.
Right.
Because of the program I went to. So
right. Which one did you go through?
Western Governors University.
Yeah, that's what I did. I did my BSN through there.
So did I.
I could probably do the same thing with the MSN. I'm just tired, man. I'm like, I don't even care no more. Yeah.
I feel you. That's why I did it while I was there, because I'm like, I did my BSN, took me 5 months, and then I stayed in, did my master's in another 8 months, and was done. Because I knew I wouldn't go back. I didn't want to be sitting in a classroom with a bunch of 20-year-olds that didn't know anything, or spending, 4 years getting my master's degree. I didn't have time for that.
Now they're your charge nurses, though.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so tell me a little bit. I have a question here, so if I go off script, I'm sorry, but how did your journey in nursing lead you to recognize the significance of your six pillars? Now, in his book, The Restore Nurse, just correct me if I say anything wrong. So in his book, The Restore Nurse, his six pillars are physical health, work health, mental health, financial health, relational health, and spiritual health. So how did your journey lead you to recognize the significance of these six pillars? And how do these pillars influence your approach to nursing and life now?
Well, like yourself, I've been a nurse a long time in healthcare. First started in healthcare as a phlebotomist in 1996. So I'm approaching 30 years as well. I actually went to EMT school in 94 and realized that the job sucked and so did the pay. So I didn't do that. Right. Mad respect for those folks that do that, but it wasn't for me. So I started a few years ago and you kind of read the story, part of it in the book, where I was done. I had always loved being a nurse, but I hated what nursing had become. And I still do. Nursing is an absolute mess right now. I love being a nurse. I love patient care. I love the camaraderie and teamwork that we always had in the ER. And I loved all of that, but nursing has just gotten so messy right now that I found myself, and again, I tell this story in the book, but I found myself standing in the woods, literally screaming to God that I just wanted to love being a nurse again.
Right.
And I didn't. And so I contemplated for a while leaving nursing.
Right.
And I realized that not being a nurse scared me more than whatever I was facing in nursing. Like, who was I going to be? And I had promised myself as a young man that I would never do that, that I would never become so intertwined with whatever my job was that it began to identify me.
Right.
And so when I started that self-exploration and started thinking about the nurses around me, I realized that what I was feeling, most of my colleagues were too. It's right. A very rare nurse that hasn't had that moment where they, who am I if I'm not a nurse kind of
right.
thing.
Right, right. You know? I agree.
So I started with kind of figuring out who's Matt and how do I begin to build a life that I actually want to live. And as through that process, you know, there's 168 hours in a week. On average, most nurses spend 36 to 48 hours working. So right. even if you're on the 48-hour side of that, that still leaves 120 hours in a week, yet we blame our job for the fact that our life sucks.
All right.
Okay?
And yeah, but we're money whores.
We are. We are.
We're money whores.
That's part of the problem, though. We tend to yes. build these lifestyles that require us. I've worked with so many nurses, awesome nurses, that would work 60 hours a week so they could pay for their Mercedes.
Right.
And
their Gucci purses or all their fancy stuff. And,
right. Or, yes. you know, big fancy, whatever the thing right. is, house, whatever the thing is. And it's different for all of us. But as I did this self-exploration, I realized that so my two biggest needs, and these are in the specific chapters in the book, were physical health, morbidly obese. And I'm working on it. I'm making progress.
You don't look morbidly obese to me.
Well, it didn't show my face, but I'm over 300 pounds. So
you're still beautiful.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And financial health. And I mentioned that in the book as well. Right. My wife and I started that piece of the journey. We had $200,000 in debt, you know, not including our mortgage. And so the more I explored this, the more I realized that all of these different pieces, the physical, the work, I mean, the physical, the mental, the financial, the relational, the spiritual health, they all work together or they don't.
Right.
You know, there's a graphic in my book that almost looks like a Roman temple, you know, like the Parthenon
in
Greece. And each of these pillars, as I call them, is holding up the roof. And that roof is the restored life. But if you start taking these pillars away, then the whole thing collapses.
Right.
And through my own journey of self-exploration and trying to, you know, who is the man that Matt wants to be? You know, who's the husband that my wife deserves and the father that my children deserve. Who is that guy? Then I realized if I'm going to really be that guy, I've got to approach all of these things.
Right.
So I began developing this stuff in my own life. And then from then I realized all these other nurses I know, I mean, there's some of them that physical health, I mean, I've known some that just incredible physical health, but we're a bad day away from suicide.
Right.
You know?
We know those people who smile on the outside are hurting on the inside. So, yeah.
Absolutely. We see some of these big celebrities that spend their entire life making other people happy. And then
Robin Williams.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. He's the one that comes to mind when I think of that. You know, or I've known, you know, they had good mental health, but their relationships were crap. Their children hated them and they were divorced. And I'm not bagging on anybody who gets divorced. I mean, crap happens. Sometimes it's just not right. Sometimes you're in a situation that you got to get out of, and that is totally cool. Okay. I'm not banging on anybody for that, but sometimes these things happen because of the choices that we've made. And that's on both partners in a marriage. But so how does it influence my approach to nursing? That kind of outlines how it influences my approach to life. But since developing these six pillars and starting to really try to incorporate these into my life, probably the biggest thing is an increased focus on work health. Okay. But I realized that, so I've been a nurse a long time, like we talked about. My back and my knees still work. Okay. And when I got to thinking about this, the advantage that I had, and between being a combat vet and a nurse, your knees and back are probably both shredded, but
I'm still healthy, man. I just turned 55 and I'm still running.
There you go.
I'm good, man. I'm not hurting yet.
Yeah. Awesome. But a lot of the women I know, even some of those right. that are a little, that are at a healthier weight, I'll say, than I am, their knees and their back kill them. Right. And the reason for that is I went into it with more physical strength than they did.
Right.
Okay. So even though I haven't done anything that made me more resilient physically, I already naturally was because of physical strength. So then I start looking at, okay, how can we help nurses become more resilient in that way, their physical strength, their physical health? And ultimately, the reality is, so most nurses and most caregivers, but I speak to nurses because I am one. And most of the people that get into any sort of healthcare or caregiving field or service-oriented field, we're really good at taking care of everybody else and ignoring, except ourselves. Right. Exactly. And the reality is that at some point, and we can do that for a long time, but at some point we run out. And so if we're not taking care of these other things, these six pillars, it will affect our yeah. job as a nurse. We may think we're still giving, we may be checking all the boxes, but we're not giving as good care of our patients as we right. could if these right. things were taken care of.
Well, I had a lady, she was one of our psych patients that come to the ED not that long ago. She was, I don't know how old you are, but I'm sure you're close to our my age and stuff, but I was in her 50s, and she was a NICU nurse, and she would poop in the bed in these little nuggets, and she thought that they were her babies, and she'd want us to resuscitate them. And then all I could think about, no joke, I'm like, damn, is this my future and shit? Because, you know, we see so much crap, and then we don't talk, we don't get it out, we don't take care of ourselves, and then by the time we are hurt and we can't work as much, then maybe we're going to have mental issues and stuff.
Right.
Because we don't share our thoughts and our feelings. And
no, we don't.
Take care of ourselves.
We don't. I worked, like I said earlier, I mentioned I spent most of my career in the ER. And a bunch of years ago, I started I actually went to this sheriff department in my county, got some yeah. training with their critical incident stress debriefing team. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but for any listeners that aren't, critical incident stress debriefing team are trained professionals that will come in after a significant event, whether maybe it's, so we're talking law enforcement, then right. maybe it's a colleague that's been shot or a school shooting or right. if it's EMS, maybe it's a mass casualty incident, something that's outside of the realm of their normal. And they come in, they're trained specifically to give these people an opportunity to debrief, to right. unload of all that, right? So I went and got this training and put together a team and ran it for a year and received exactly zero phone calls.
Right. Why? Why do you think nobody calls?
Yeah. Well, it's a bunch of things. So I think some of it's pride. Some of it's, we're just so busy. You know, well, I've got four other patients I got to take care of. I don't have.
I've been in the ED so long and I've never had a debriefing ever.
No.
Ever. People just, you see people dying and they move on to the next one. Like it's just crazy though. I don't get that.
Well, and some of that is just the way it is, because we do have other patients that need to take care of. And,
right.
you know,
yeah, but how long is it going to take 30 seconds, a minute to have a debriefing to say, hey, Matt, you feeling okay, man? I mean, you want to share anything? You need a fucking hug? Or?
Right. Absolutely. I mean,
there's nothing Absolutely. Wrong with that.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, that makes you a much healthier person in the long term.
Yeah. You know? All right. So your book is called The Restored Nurse. And I have a question here. It says The Restored Nurse delves in the themes of restoration across various aspects of life. So how do you address the interplay between the six pillars in your book, and how can nurses prioritize them amidst the demands of their profession? So taking your six pillars, how can we use those to better ourselves and better our nursing and get our compassion back?
Well, I think that it starts in one of the early chapters. It's been a while since I've actually read my own book but in one of the earlier chapters, I talk about identity, and I talk about...
Is that one of your exercises?
It's one of the exercises. Yes, sir.
I did that exercise where you made me write a list of the things that, who is Kevin?
Exactly.
Exercise. I wrote down brother, father, mentor, nurse, coach, entrepreneur, veteran, and husband.
Okay.
And then you made me go back and number them.
Right.
Which one's number one, do you think?
Well, I know what my answer is, but it might be different for everybody.
Right. But what do you think mine is?
Well, husband, I would hope.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Good, good man.
Yeah, I love that. That's good.
Yeah. But yeah. The reality is, though, and that is exactly what I was talking about, Kevin. We have this, we don't think about, if we ask somebody, is your job more important than your family? Zero nurses are going to say yes to that.
Right.
Every single nurse is going to say, my family is far more important But then if you ask the same one, how many ball games did you miss last year?
Right.
And some of them will say all of them.
Right.
You know?
And then they blame it on work.
And they blame it on work.
But it's not work. It's us.
That's right. It's the choices we make. So I love my parents to death, but they did a great job. But one thing they messed up in is they were seldom at the things that were important to me. Right. So I played Little League Baseball. They dropped me off, you know, and they, right. they didn't come. When I played in the band in high school, the marching band was my life in high right. school.
What instrument did you play?
Saxophone.
All right. My wife played the flute.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Nice. I actually met my wife in band camp.
One time in band camp.
One time in band camp.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. That's good.
So that was my whole, and my parents weren't there. And that's something I actually dealt with later. And I'm not mad at my parents, but they missed the mark on that one. And a lot of nurses are making that same mistake. And then they wonder why they have a 20-year-old that moves out and never comes home.
Right.
Never comes over. You know, our son, so because of my own experience, I swore I'm going to be at everything. I'm going to be yeah. there so much that my kids are annoyed by how much my wife and I are there.
Right. Okay? I get you.
And, you know, until they look at me and say, Dad, do you really have to come to this event? And I'm going to say, yes, I do. And right. you know what? They've never said that. My son.
You're going to appreciate it later on, though, when they will. They'll appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think my kids looked around and realized there's only like a couple of parents that are here all the time. And, you know, there's maybe five parents that are here all the time. Two of them are mine.
Right.
You know? And it's because me and my wife are literally at everything. And, but I knew that that meant I had to make some choices professionally, some choices that probably cost me money. You know, it meant choosing jobs that made me available in the evenings.
Right.
Probably paid a little less than I could have if I'd have stayed at the bedside in the ER or maybe taken a management position or whatever. And again, I'm not judging anybody.
Yeah, right. I get you.
But our son and his now wife, he's 22 years old. Actually, they're both 22. They come over every Sunday for dinner. They come over every other Saturday. We play Dungeons and Dragons at our house, and the two of them come over and play. But many of the other adults I know, their kids hardly ever come over.
Right.
You know, I was not a perfect father. I messed up big time in some other yep. things.
No, but at least you're wise enough to realize how you can get better and stuff. I get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that. The problem, though, is I think that, and I'm being sexist now, you know, we're in a female-dominated society. And I always tell the nurses that I teach and stuff who are mainly women, I'm like, women want three things in life, security, security, and security. But they use this guilt because you wrote in there in one of your book, you talk about guilt versus mm-hmm. can't read my own writing, guilt versus, what's the word that you wrote?
Resentment.
Resentment. Yeah. So I think they use that to take advantage of people because, a lot of people say, oh, they made me come to work today. Like, they didn't make you do shit. You chose to go to work. Well, who's going to take care of them? Who cares? That's not your problem. That's management's problem. But I think they use that guilt to their advantage to make us feel guilty so we will come to work.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we die, they don't care who's, you know, they'll replace us tomorrow and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You're going to resent later on in life. You're going to resent not being at your kids', you know, activities. You're going to resent not doing what you needed to do to take care of yourself. I agree with that.
And you know what? Nursing does mean we're going to miss some stuff.
Right.
Okay. You know, maybe if you're, you know, a hospital nurse working 312s, maybe you miss some baseball games, but,
right.
you know,
not all of them.
Not all of them. Not even right. most of them. Most of them, right. you should be there. And right. your kids will understand. They're cool if you miss an occasional one, so long as they can see the effort for you to be there the majority of the time.
Well,
you know?
I brainwash my kids.
Yeah. So this,
if you ask any of my kids, if you call them right now and say, Matt, what are you? And all my kids will say, I'm a Stansberry. And then I'll ask them, what can you do? Anything. Are you a consumer or a producer? We're a producer.
There you go.
Yeah. So I make them think positive. So in your book, you do talk about your faith. You do have a lot of Bible verses that go along with your six pillars. Integrating your Christian faith into your nursing practice. How do you see these six pillars intersecting with spiritual health? And what strategies do you employ to maintain a balanced approach to holistic care? Because, you know, not everybody is Christian. How do you balance the two and help keep those balance in between your patients, you, your co-workers?
It starts with an understanding that my faith is my faith. Okay. And Jesus, when we read through the Bible, the only people that Jesus was ever really hard on were the church people.
Right.
Those that were not church people or not believers, all he ever did was show them love and compassion.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I try to emulate that. If I'm taking care of a patient or I'm working with a coworker that has views that differ from mine, so what?
Right.
You know, my job and my desire is to be the best partner to that nurse I'm working with, or the best nurse to that patient I'm caring for, regardless of where our beliefs may differ. And if that nurse or that, you know, if somebody wants to, if we want to go to the coffee shop after work and have a conversation about our beliefs, I'm buying, you know, I'm not afraid to talk about my beliefs, but it's not going to affect the care I give or the way that I work with people I work with. Even if our views, you know, the media would have people believe that because I'm a Christian, that there are certain groups of people that I hate.
Right.
And
well, you know, you do come from a state where you're always in the news.
Yeah, we are.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we are.
Look at me. Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Don't say gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
You know, but it puts you in a hard position because, you know, you don't strike me as that kind of person.
No.
But the problem is now you get lumped in with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, when I pastored a church, I had a thing I used to tell the congregation all the time. When in doubt, don't be a jerk.
Right. That's nice. I like that.
You're right. When in doubt, don't be a jerk. I actually told, I was doing some education at the hospital today and for orientation for some new hires. And I told them that today. When in doubt, don't be a jerk. And
I know I'm not very religious, but listen to this, Jane. You better fucking pay attention. So Jane, who edits our podcast, she's Catholic and stuff. And I told her, I said, just what you said. I said, Jesus, he loved people. He stood with the poor. He healed the sick. He didn't go to church. You know, he didn't go to church. And when he did go to church, he destroyed it because the people were being stupid. I said, so why can't you be like him? He wanted you to love people. Why can't we all be like that? Just love people no matter what. Don't look down upon them. Just love them.
Yeah. That's it. Because, I mean, Jesus once asked, what is the greatest commandment? And
love.
He said, first, love God. But then he said, he added to it and said, love your neighbor. And
so why don't we?
Well, because people suck sometimes. I think we covered that. Because sometimes people suck.
Wait, say it one more time for Jane.
Sometimes people suck.
Because I told her that. I said, Jane, people suck. I tell her that all the time. She don't listen to me. She doesn't believe me. So reflecting on your experiences, can you share an instance where you witnessed the impact of neglecting one or more of the six pillars on a nurse's well-being and professional performance? That's number four there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we've all worked with that nurse that had been there a few years too longer than he or she should have been, right? Like they stayed, and maybe it wasn't that they continued to be in nursing longer than they should have, but they stayed in this department that was killing them longer than they should have.
Right.
And for whatever reason. And I think that piece is, it's much more important for work health for you to go someplace else. I remember I worked with a nurse one time. She had transferred from peds, and she was an older nurse. And she was not, this was in the ER, I was charge nurse. She was not getting it. She was not making that transition to ER. And ER is different.
Right.
You know, it just is. And it's not good or bad to say, if you come to the ER and it doesn't work out, that doesn't mean you're a bad nurse.
Right.
Now, if you stay there when it's not working out, that means you're a bad nurse.
Right.
Because a good nurse says, you know what? This is not a good fit. Let me transfer. And this nurse didn't. And, you know, I ended up, unfortunately, having to write her up a few times. And she ended up getting fired. She did not have work health. And it affected her. You know, she was so determined to be an ER nurse. And it wasn't a good fit. She did not have a healthy relationship with work. I think we've all worked with nurses. I remember another instance, a guy I worked with, this guy had been through hell. Okay. His wife, he was in his late 20s only when I worked with him, and he was a widower.
Holy cow.
His wife had gotten cancer, and he had been by her side and been through all that, and she had died. And
any kids?
No, they didn't have any kids, thankfully.
Because we have a guy that I worked with at the hospital, man. He was probably in his 30s, but the same thing, his wife had cancer. Yeah. He's got a younger daughter.
Yeah.
And it devastated him, so.
Yeah. Well, and this guy, come to find out later, he was diverting drugs, narcotics. He was stealing narcotics from the hospital. And I can't even fathom what he's been through.
Right.
Okay. But clearly his mental health, reasonably so. I mean, his mental health was a mess because of right. what he had been through. And I'm not, you know, but it affected his work.
Right.
You know, it's
was this in Florida?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a diversion program like we do here in California?
Yeah, we've got it's called the Impaired Nursing Program in Florida. And unfortunately, when he was called out, he chose just to quit his job.
Well, here in California, they make it quite expensive to go through the program. Yeah, you got to pay fees and stuff. Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that, but.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. So in your opinion, what are the key components of each the six pillars for nurses? How can they cultivate resilience and sustainability in their careers by nurturing these aspects in their lives?
Well, we could talk. Each one of the pillars could be a whole discussion in itself. Right.
That's a whole episode. Each pillar is a whole episode.
Yes, sir. But in the book, I do break that down into each one of the pillars. I break down into what I believe are the components of it. And I don't get into details. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a fitness expert.
Yeah, you say that in the book.
Right. But I know that most of us eat too much and don't do enough activity. Okay.
Right.
So proper nutrition, physical activity of some sort.
Right.
Rest, hydration for physical health. Those are the things.
Yeah. That was one thing I read in your book about the water, because I don't drink water either. But you were talking about how they always tell us we have to drink so much water. But you're like, I got to always go pee. I can't be drinking that much.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's true, though. Like, yeah, but how much is enough water? Is it really, you know, I mean, I think every person is probably different, but.
Well, you know, that's another one of those things that, you know, if you went on the internet and looked, you'll find 100 different opinions.
Right.
Where I've kind of landed is, what color is my urine?
Right. I saw that. Yeah, what color?
Like you're yellow. A military man. You know, that's how if your urine is dark, you're not drinking enough water, and somebody's going to get in your face and yell at you and make you drink more water.
Right. Well, do you believe in your book, you talked about the BMI a little bit. Do you believe in the BMI?
I think that it's a tool, but
I personally think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying from my own personal opinion, because I think the BMI doesn't really work anymore because, you know, I mean, look at me. I'm 6 foot tall and I weigh 230 pounds now because I gained too much weight, but I'm morbidly obese.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, but.
I'm 5'10" and about 330. So, I mean, I absolutely need to lose a bunch of weight. Okay.
Me too.
But according to the BMI, I should be like 155.
They says I should weigh 170. I'm like, damn, I'd be like a stick.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There'd be nothing left of me.
Yeah. That's why I don't know if the BMI is accurate anymore.
Yeah. That's a little bit of backstory that's not in the book. So I actually went to Marine Corps boot camp. Didn't finish. That's a long story, but
you're a jarhead.
Well, no, because I didn't finish boot camp, so I'm a quitter, I guess.
At least you tried.
That's right. But in my training platoon, there was a guy that came in that was overweight, even by the Marine Corps standard, but the dude had shoulders like this, and his back was he could get up there and overhand do 20 pull-ups without breaking a sweat.
Right.
Okay? But according to the BMI, he was morbidly obese.
See how crazy
he's like
that 5
foot 10 and, you know, 250 or 240.
Did they kick him out?
No. Uh-uh.
All right.
No, they got a special waiver for him because he was a badass dude.
Yeah, of course. That's so stupid. That's why I hate that stupid thing.
Yeah, I do too. I think companies made it up so they could charge us fat people more.
I agree with that. That I agree with. All right. So as a father and a husband, how do you model the importance of the six pillars to your family? What advice do you give healthcare professionals striving to maintain harmony across these while juggling their family responsibilities?
I've not done a good job for most of my life with many of these. Some of them have. Relationally, I've done a pretty good job with that.
How long have you been married?
28 years this past Saturday.
Oh, nice. Look at you. Wait, 28 wonderful years.
28, well, 8 wonderful years. And no, yeah.
28 no, I get
wonderful
that.
Years.
I get you.
My wife's in the other room, so don't
it's
give me
hard,
trouble, Kevin.
Mine's right here. Look, mine's right here behind me listening to me, so I get you. It's hard. It's like having another job, man.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's
it
work.
Is.
So I think that what I do good now is modeling for my children that, yeah, I've not always done good at this,
right?
But I can still
improve,
fix it.
Yeah. That's
you right. know, I can put in the work. I'm 48 years old. I'll be 49 this weekend. I can
Happy
put in
birthday.
The work. Thank you. And I can put in the work. And even though I've not been good at some of these things for a very long time, it's not too late to go back and fix it. Right, and so right. Now that's how I model it for my children. As far as healthcare professionals trying to maintain that harmony with their familial responsibilities, you know, I think that it comes down to that list that we talked about earlier. Okay. Right. So for me,
you're talking about the list from your one exercise.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. I got you. Okay.
So for me, you know, I don't think we actually explained what the list is for your listeners or what that exercise was. So I asked in the exercise,
I don't want to give away too much and stuff because it's your book. So,
well, that's fine. They still need to buy the book and read it.
Buy the book and read the book so you'll know.
That's right.
I agree with that. It's a good book. Look, not only does your book give good information, but it gives exercise. So it helps put the pieces of the puzzle together. It does do that.
Right. That's what I was hoping for. But the point of that exercise is for people to realize that if I say husband is my number one identity.
Right.
So when I made my list, I realized that nurse wasn't even in the top five for me.
Mine was number three.
Okay. But we oftentimes, there's the old saying that you can tell what people really care about by if you check their checking account, their checkbook.
Right, right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
I would say that you can also check their calendar. And if your calendar shows a lot of missed events, missed family right. events more, then you're showing that you value work more than
right.
your family. So if husband is my first priority and father is my second, so those were my top one and two. Okay.
Right. That was me too.
Then I need to make sure that my calendar reflects that. Now that means for me, part of that means I drive a 13-year-old Chevy Silverado that I actually love with almost 150,000 miles on it instead of a 2-year-old Mercedes.
Right.
Okay. Because I don't want a $700 car payment that right. means I have to work 6 days a week just so I can pay it.
I 100% agree with that. I don't want any car payments at all.
Me neither. Right. I don't have any. My wife drives a 2006
right.
Chevy Trailblazer and, right. and love the heck out of both of them. You know?
Right. Because you're debt free. You don't have to own, you're not owed by anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I think that balance that you asked about, that harmony, I think it comes down to looking at the list after you've done that exercise and asking, does my checkbook and my calendar look the same as my list?
I got you.
If it doesn't, then something's got to change. Sell the car, buy a smaller house, you know, sell some of your fancy purses, cancel the girls' weekend, whatever
Do you really think that nurses are going to change their living and their lifestyle?
Well,
are they going to keep up with the Joneses?
That's it. You know, many of them will not. Unfortunately, many people will read my book and not change anything.
And they'll still keep bitching about how life sucks.
Right.
They won't make any changes.
Right. You know, if you hate your job so much, make some changes so you don't have to be there as often.
Magic, isn't it? All right. So your book emphasizes the concept of restoration. I like that because, you know, restoration, transformation, I agree with you. How do you advocate for nurses to prioritize their physical health, their mental health, their relationship and spiritual? Because I'm on a big kick right now because a lot of us, I don't know how you feel about this, but a lot of us are, and I know Florida doesn't have it, but here in California, we have ratios. Mm-hmm. And so like you can't get more than four patients to one nurse, but hospitals still push you over guys because nurses won't say no.
Right.
So how can you advocate? How do you help nurses try to advocate for themselves so they don't, you know, put themselves at risk or the patients at risk, themselves at risk?
Well, I think that some of it comes down to what you mentioned earlier, choosing guilt over resentment. Okay. So charge nurse or the manager calls and says, hey, we're really short. Can you come in? You may feel guilty if you don't go, but if you go sooner or later, enough of that, or you take that extra patient, you're going to feel guilty not taking that patient. But so you say yes and you take that extra patient, but that builds up over time and turns into resentment, whether it's right. resentment for your manager or for your employer or for nursing in general.
That's right. In your book, you talk about that. You talk about you pick up the phone call because you get your day off, you're watching TV and stuff, and then somebody calls and says, hey, Matt, can you come to work? And what do you do, most people?
Yeah, most people say, okay, yeah, what time? I'll be there as fast as I can.
Why, though? I mean, we love money so much that we want to pick up an extra shift, and then we're bitching because we're working too much.
I don't even think it's completely a money thing, necessarily. For some, it certainly is.
What do you think it is, dude?
I think a lot of it is an identity thing, okay? And, you know, society tells women, unfortunately, are in a really tough spot right now.
Right.
If you don't work enough, then you're a terrible woman. If right. you work too much, you're a terrible woman.
Right.
You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a terrible woman. So they really can't win.
Well, I hear a lot of crap on TikTok now where women are bitching because men don't make enough money, but yet they wanted to be the breadwinners. So now that the breadwinners, they're bitching because the guys ain't got enough money. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You wanted to be the boss bitch, and now you are. So you make more money than he does.
Right. Now they're mad because they make more money, though.
Right.
You
right.
can't have it both ways.
You know, but I think that we're so many of us are so wrapped up in that identity, two things, that the identity as a nurse over right. our identity as the other things on our list. And two, we've been convinced from nursing school that making choices that are bad for ourselves, bad for our family, all that is what a nurse does. So if my entire identity or the majority of my identity is I'm a nurse, and a nurse means I do these things that might be bad for my family or for my own health, then I do those things, even right. if I don't want to, because that's who I am.
Right. So how do you think we got here to identifying ourselves? Like when you're talking about your list, how do you think people got there to identifying number one as a nurse and everything else is second nature?
Honestly, I think it's just something that most people have never taken the time to think about.
But do you think we were taught this way by our parents, by our society growing up? Because when I was growing up, I'm not that much older than you, but I'm sure you remember this. When I was growing up, we only had one person working. And then wasn't until around maybe 1972, 73, both parents started working because we had to make ends meet with two parents. And after that, that's kind of when we started falling off the wagon in America.
I think that a lot of this comes from the fact that most people have never stopped to think about it. Mm. Okay. They don't realize that I've built my identity around this job I do. And this is not unique to nursing. Right. You see this in career military men and women. Right. You see this in law enforcement, EMS, fire. I've seen police officer, firefighter, paramedic retires and dies a year or two later because right. they no longer know who they've lost their identity right. and there's no right. reason to live and they're dead within a year or two.
I see that in nursing too, because people always absolutely. Tell me they're going to retire. And I say, well, what happens when you retire? They don't have an answer. I'm like, exactly. What are you going to do when you retire? Because this has been your whole life. Yeah. As soon as you retire, most people die and stuff because they don't have any other identity. That's true.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just a result of they haven't taken the time to sit down and do this exercise that's in the book and realize nurse is not the most important part of who I am.
Right. All right, so we're getting close to the end, so I know I didn't get to all the questions, but I'm going to get to the last question. I'm going to go to question 15 because I wanted to give you the opportunity. As a pastor and a registered nurse, what guidance would you offer nurses seeking to align their professional calling, and I don't know how I feel about that professional calling thing, but with spiritual beliefs while also prioritizing their physical, mental, financial, and relational health? Because I know you are a pastor, and that's part of your life.
Yeah.
So how do you mentor us? How do you minister to us?
First of all, I'm with you on the calling thing. I don't necessarily think that nursing is a calling.
Right.
Those of us that end up in nursing, I think we have a calling to help people.
Right.
And nursing is, but you can do that as a mechanic. You do it.
Right. That's right.
Or anything. Okay. And I think that a lot of the problems that we have, well, I'm called to this, so I need to make these unhealthy choices.
That's my exactly calling. Right.
Well, how do nurses seeking to align their professional calling and their spiritual beliefs while also prioritizing these other things? Well, I think that I made a pretty good case in the book for the fact that, at least as a Christian, these other pillars are part of our spiritual life. Many Christians, pastors included, try to separate them, but it's all a part of who we are. Okay. Right. So prioritizing those things is prioritizing your spiritual beliefs. Okay. We'll say aligning their job as a nurse and their spiritual beliefs. I think a lot of that goes back to what we talked about earlier, where, you know, you and I are basically the same age. Like you said, my older brother is the same age as you. So you remember back in the day, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? Bracelet. Right. I mean, they were everywhere, right?
Everywhere.
But there is some wisdom in that. It's kind of right. corny. Okay. But there's some wisdom in that for a Christian that is trying to say, okay, how do I align these two? And a big part of it is what we talked about earlier. Jesus loved people.
Right.
Okay. People that were hurting, people that sometimes were nasty. When we read the crucifixion story, as he hung on the cross, he cried out forgiveness to the very people that hung him there.
Right.
And if, as a Christian, or really, I mentioned this in the book as well, but spiritual health is not just a Christian thing.
Right.
You know, I've seen polls where they ask people in America if they consider themselves religious. And in these days, it's around 50-50 would say that they're right. religious. But if they ask if they're considering themselves to be spiritual, the vast majority, 90-some percent of people say yes to that. And spirituality, spiritual health is, if everybody basically agrees that we're spiritual beings, then we can connect on that.
Right. That's right.
Without necessarily having the same exact religious beliefs or even the same definition of what spirituality means.
Right. But at least you're open to it, though. Most people aren't open to that, though. At least you're open to it. You sound like you're open to it. You're, you know, willing to talk about it. You don't shut people off. And yeah, I get you. But it makes a huge difference, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the one thing I took away from your book. You know, you apologize for maybe something that somebody did to you to turn you away from that. So it makes a big difference. I get that.
I grew up in those churches, too, my friend.
I know.
My father was a Southern Baptist pastor, and he did a pretty good job as a pastor, but some of those churches were just
tough. They were rough. Well, I tell people, looking, and I'm not saying it was all religion, but looking back, I felt like I grew up in a damn cult and stuff because of the way they behaved and stuff. And
some of these churches are rough, like that, bro.
Yeah, it was 100%. Pretty rough, man.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to encourage everybody to buy his book, Matt Norman. It's called The Restored Nurse, right? You can get it on Amazon, and we'll have Jane put it in the link, and then when we post it on our Facebook page and TikTok page, we'll put the link in there too. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with before we let you go?
I'd love for anybody to follow me on TikTok. That's one of the most active, that big bald nurse.
All right, the big bald nurse.
That big bald nurse, that's me. And other than that, man, I think that this book is not about me making money. Am I making a little bit of money off of it? Yeah. Sure, but
it's only $10. Don't be cheap, you bastards.
Right, exactly.
Your money hoards anyway. So.
You have to work in too many hours anyway. Right. So
pick up an extra shift and buy his book.
Right, exactly. But it really is about helping nurses. I mean, I legitimately love nurses.
Right.
You know, they're some of the best people you can be
around. I can feel it in you. I do. I can feel it in you. That's what I love about it.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And I just get the book and read it. Do the exercises and go into it with an open mind.
Right.
And
I did. Everybody who knows me here knows that I'm not a religious person, but I am spiritual. I read it and I enjoyed it and I learned from it and I did the exercise. I didn't get to read all of it yet, but I will. I'll keep doing the exercises. So I think I'm on exercise number 3 soon.
Okay.
But I learned from it. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
This book doesn't have all of the answers, but it is a place for people to start.
No, but it's good. I like that. I think it's a really good book. I was really surprised by it. So I liked it a lot. And I'm still learning, and I encourage everybody to get it. It's called The Restored Nurse, and it's on Amazon. Again, we'll put it in the link when we post everything. And don't forget to follow him on TikTok, The Bald Nurse. No, The Bald.
That Big Bald Nurse.
That Big Bald Nurse, yeah. I'll follow you, too, so that way we can connect and know, push your book out, too. I appreciate it, man. All right, you guys, I appreciate you watching us on the Transformation Nurse Academy podcast. We appreciate you guys. Thank you, Matt. You guys have a great day, man. Thank you.
Don't miss out. Engage with us weekly. Share your thoughts. And let's transform the nursing landscape together.